This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. We have talked a lot on this show about the gender pay gap. That is the difference in the pay that women get versus the pay that men get.
And the number you'll often hear quoted is 20%, as in women get paid about 20% less than men do.
But economists will also note that not all of that 20% is the result of straightforward discrimination, or at least not discrimination alone.
For instance, women will often take some time off for childcare. That will affect their pay, but it isn't discrimination.
Another factor in women getting paid less, job choice.
Yeah, in general, women tend to choose less lucrative fields. For instance, there are a lot more women than men in the fields of home healthcare worker and school teacher, and those are fields that tend to have relatively lower pay.
Conversely, there are a lot more men than women working in the tech industry and in engineering, fields where the pay tends to be higher.
Now, the reasons that women and men are choosing these fields has been the subject of a lot of discussion, as has the reason that these fields tend to pay more or less, respectively. But whatever the reason, this is happening.
Plus, we should add that it's not always easy to separate the discrimination from some of these trends. For example, when more women join a field, there is some evidence that sometimes that has the effect of holding down pay.
This is the worst.
Yeah, no, it really is. And there's also discrimination involved in the choices that people make when men and women tend to choose different fields. So, for example, it's true that men and women tend to choose different fields, but part of the reason might be that women know they'll be treated unfairly if they go into certain occupations. But this is all part of the reason that we got so excited about this new study from Glassdoor. See, this study looks at something different. It compares the salaries of men and women within certain fields once those choices have been made, and then it compares those salaries.
Today on the show, jobs and the gender pay gap. Which jobs have the smallest disparity in pay between men and women, and which have the biggest?
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company working to make carbon capture technology more efficient and affordable so it can be deployed at industrial sites worldwide. Find out more at energyfactor.com. Support also comes from WordPress.com. With powerful site-building tools and thousands of themes to choose from, users can launch a site that's free to start with room to grow. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at wordpress.com/indicator.
Glassdoor Economic Research just put out a study looking at the gender pay gap in different fields. It's called The Progress on the Gender Pay Gap 2019. And today we're talking to Glassdoor's chief economist, Andrew Chamberlain. So, Andrew, for this study, you guys looked at the gender pay gap and how big the gap is across different industries.
Industry by industry, where are the biggest pay gaps, okay? So when I say pay gap, I'm talking about like after I've accounted for what jobs people work in, their education, experience. So I'm making like an apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay.
This is what I call the adjusted pay gap, okay?
Okay.
So industries with the biggest pay gap, media came out on top.
Oh my God, okay. Really?
So, sorry to break it to you, Stacey.
Well,
media, though,
why?
Which
why?
May make you feel better, doesn't just include broadcast or radio. It includes, like, Hollywood. So there's companies like NBC Universal, but there's also Walt Disney. There's also Viacom, Gannett. All of these other things are counted as media, including some video game companies like Electronic Arts. That's technically considered media.
So what is the pay gap for media?
6.4% was the pay gap once you do apples to apples comparison. So what is going on with media? It's been where the Me Too movement really gained momentum. So it's an industry that is like the old economy in some ways, where it doesn't pay very much attention to formal credentials. It's more about who you know rather than what you know in some cases.
Okay, what is the second worst?
Second worst is the retail sector, and then they're followed by construction, repair, maintenance, and then oil, gas, and utilities. So it's kind of a mixture here. So in retail, of course, you know, it's a very low-paying job. This is like disproportionately women working in many of these positions. It's companies like Target, Walmart, Lowe's, Walgreens, Macy's. And then, you know, and further down in construction, you know, many male-dominated fields there, as well as in oil and gas. So what I believe is happening in those fields is similar to media, there's not a lot of attention paid to formal academic credentials. And these are may have many jobs that are male dominated. And the fact is if you have mostly men in upper management or leadership positions, they don't create institutions that let women get ahead often.
So let's go maybe to the other end of the scale. What is the industry with the smallest pay gap?
The industry with the smallest pay gap was biotech and pharmaceuticals.
Huh.
The pay gap was only 2.2% when we compared similar men and women. So almost gone. Part of it is they have a relatively young workforce, right? Many of these are scientific folks coming out of PhD programs. It's very like credential based. Like there's lots of PhD chemists and biologists in that field. And also, you know, that field that really does like have a decent work-life balance in many of the big biotech and pharma companies. And I think that attracts more women to that field. So as women are moving more into STEM fields, they're being pushed into leadership roles in biotech and pharma. So I think that's actually contributing to the small pay gap there.
What is the industry with the second smallest pay gap?
Second smallest was education. So this includes big universities. So both administrators and faculty. And what we found there is in education, only a 2.4% pay gap. You know, that's a field where, first of all, pay is quite transparent at many big public universities.
That's true, yeah.
There's no hiding what you earn if you work at a big state school. It's often published publicly. And I believe that helps crush the gap down because people know what people are earning and they negotiate.
And what about the third smallest?
The third smallest is aerospace and defense.
Huh.
Okay, so who is in aerospace defense? This is like Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon. These are these huge, often contractors.
What was the biggest surprise for you in this study?
Well, I think the biggest surprise to me is how much of a role occupation plays and how little of a role that experience and education play.
Oh.
I think a common misperception about the pay gap is that it's all just about education and experience, or that women are just voluntarily choosing low-paying jobs. I think those are the most common misperceptions. And what we found in this study is that education and experience explain very little of the pay gap, like 8% or something like that. And occupational differences explained like 56% of the overall pay gap. I think what's important to recognize there is that women and men don't randomly sort into occupations, partly because of influences early on. What kind of jobs get taught to people as being a male job or a female job. And some jobs, frankly, just aren't friendly to family lifestyles. It's very hard to get the flexibility you need. You know, to balance a family with a job, and especially in C-suite positions and in many fast-growing sectors. And no question, like the single best remedy for a pay gap is a strong labor market. I mean, we've definitely seen the pay gap overall shrinking in recent years. And I think that that's just letting the economy burn hard and it's putting workers in the driver's seat. And so I think that's what's going on in those fields.
This has been really fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Constanza Gallardo, edited by Patty Hirsch, our intern is Willa Rubin, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Hey everyone, if you want to get even more hashtag amazing content from Planet Money, you can subscribe to our newsletter. It's about economics, it drops once a week, and you can subscribe at npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. That is all one word, npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter.
If you love this show, then check out Life Kit, tools to help you get it together. Think of it as that friend who always has great advice on everything from how to invest to how to get a great workout. Subscribe to Life Kit All Guides to get episodes on every topic all in one place. Find it in Apple Podcasts or at npr.org/lifekit.